Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
All right, yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler, Toby Altizer, and you are here too, and we thank you for that. Oh, it's good to have you. Good to be with you on a weird, wacky Friday. It is a monster weekend in Wisconsin sports. An absolutely monster weekend. You've got the Ryder Cup today happening at Whistling Straits. Supposed to happen last year. They announced that it would be at this course all the way back in like 2005. So the long wait is over. And many of you have maybe already gotten to the course or are on your way there now.
Good morning.
Say hi to my wife. She'll be there somehow. My wife's not into sports. Like, she actually has been less into sports since I met her. You know, she doesn't watch Packer games with me anymore. She says, I got so little free time in my life. I can't do it with these guys. And I get it. And I get it totally. But she'll be there, so say hi to her. So you got the Ryder Cup happening. You got Badgers Notre Dame tomorrow. This was also a game scheduled. I think this game's been scheduled since like 1987. I mean, this game's been scheduled for, man, a long time. Feels that way. So that game's coming up this weekend. You got the Packers and the Niners on Sunday Night Football. Niners a little banged up with their running backs. But other than that, I mean, they're a team that can beat the Packers, and they have, and they consistently have, really. Not can beat the Packers, maybe should beat the Packers. Packers defense, they got a lot to work on before they face a team like that on Sunday. So we'll have that one Sunday night. And then you got the Brewers, who I thought would have clinched by now, and they haven't. And you can blame the Cardinals for that, because the St. Louis Cardinals came in here on a winning streak and then had a four-game series against the Milwaukee Brewers, the 91-win Milwaukee Brewers, a team that's been playing incredible all season, a team that the last time St. Louis faced the Brewers, they were walked off by a grand slam from Daniel Vogelbach. But they came in here and they won on Monday, and then they won on Tuesday, and then they won on Wednesday, and then they won yesterday. So that is leading some to worry a little bit. Still, the mathematical odds for the Brewers to not win the Central it's very slim. But because it's the Cardinals, I understand if you're a Brewers fan and you're like, goo. So the Brewers have the Mets this weekend, monster weekend at American Family Field. There are a ton of things going on whether it's Carlos Gomez and, you know, there's a Hall of Fame or the Wall of Fame induction or the Wall of Honor. They're two different things. We always get them confused. And when I say we, I mean every Brewers fan. But something's going on where guys are back. And then Bronny's back this weekend. You've got giveaways all weekend long, fan appreciation days. So there's a lot of good stuff happening at American Family Field. If you are on the fence about getting tickets, I mean, it's the last home series of the year outside of whatever happens in the playoffs. So it would be a good one to go to. The Cardinals, on the other hand, have the Cubs. And the Cardinals have the Cubs in a four-game series over the weekend. There's a makeup game they have all the way back in July. So they play this afternoon. They play this afternoon and they play tonight. And the Brewers play the Mets. If our beloved friends, the Chicago Cubs, can find it in their heart to beat the Cardinals twice today, and if the Brewers can get back on track against the very disappointing Nye Mets, as a Pooh would call them years ago on The Simpsons, the Brewers could clinch the division today. So, I mean, still, they can still, I know people are worrying and panicking a little bit. I won't even say panicking. I think you're aware of the possibility that this could all go haywire. And if it was any other team, because the Brewers would have to have like the most epic collapse of all time. You'd almost need to win like two games, and the Cardinals would still need to win out. They're 7.5 up on the Cardinals in the division. The Cardinals play the Brewers one more series, and the Brewers have been struggling, and it's the Cardinals. So that, if you're like worried, even though the math tells you not to be, and the division is over, if you're still worried, I get it. Because it's the Cardinals, and their devil magic, which we thought was dead, has reemerged in the last few days. We went to fourth base yesterday before the game. Toby then hopped over to the field. Did you make it for the Tyrone Taylor home run, the grand slam?
I did, yes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I got over there during that long Urias at-bat.
Okay.
Where he drew a walk after being down 0-2, and then I didn't realize that it was bases loaded. I saw first and second. I didn't see the guy on third.
Oh.
Must have been Yelly. I don't know. And then Tyrone Taylor hit it. There was never a doubt on that one. And then I was at my seat in left field when he hit his second home run of the day. And then that was it.
You went to the game. You bought the Yelich tickets and you just went by yourself?
I did, yes.
And did you like talk to other people or did you just sit there?
I was talking to one guy, a season ticket holder, who had sold his tickets. He usually sits down the right field line, or in the right field. But he sold his tickets and then saw that they were cheap and then decided to come to the game and ended up sitting up where I was.
Was he there alone?
No, he was there with another guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of actually nice just to kind of chill. I was doing all types of random stuff. If I wanted to pay attention, I did. If I didn't, I didn't.
Okay.
Just kind of chill, do whatever I wanted. Be at the baseball game, enjoy it. I mean, I had nothing else to do.
Last time I went to a game alone, I was in Atlanta, and I thought I had a free night, so I thought I'm going to go to the game. And they were playing the Marlins, maybe, or the Phillies. Doesn't matter. But I bought tickets, and I went and I bought two drinks, okay? Because I didn't want to get back up, and I was in the outfield seats. And I thought, all right, I'm just going to buy some drinks and sit down. I had not taken a drink yet. I mean, as sober as can be. And I sat down, and there's a family in front of me. And as I sat down, I spilled a drink. And, you know, sometimes when so then I was like, oh, no, they're going to think I'm hammered. And then I was trying not to act drunk, which sometimes you do that, and you end up, it's like you're acting drunk. So then I was embarrassed and I just kind of left because they thought I was drunk. And I walked around the stadium and, you know, I got to see the ballpark and they have a great exhibit about the Milwaukee Braves, a much better one, as you would probably, I guess, assume, than the Brewers have for them. But I sat down and I was just like, It was weird, so I left.
See, I don't mind going to things by myself, so I didn't mind it. It was fun.
Are you kind of a loner?
Not necessarily.
Well, when you go by yourself, you got there's more flexibility.
Yeah, I mean, I can do whatever I want. If I want to go try and sneak into a better seat, I can go do that if I wanted. I didn't, but I could have.
I like a good, road trip by myself.
I don't know. It's kind of, I don't know. It was nice to be able to go yesterday and not have to pay a lot. I found some free parking, walked about 15, 20 minutes to the game. And so it was nice to be able to just kind of pay a few bucks, go to the game. And since I paid $2 for the tickets, you didn't feel tied down. You know, if you didn't go, it wasn't a big deal. If you showed up and watched 3 innings and left, it wasn't a big deal. Stayed for the whole thing. It was great. I snagged a ball from one of the Cardinals in the bullpen.
Wow.
After the game. So
did you spend a dime in there?
No.
So you had a whole day of fun, including a lunch at fourth base. You paid $2.
That's right.
For the service fee.
Actually, I paid $4, so I wouldn't have anybody sitting next to me.
Oh, really?
Except for I didn't even sit in my seat.
That's a smart move.
I'm in the left field bleachers, and the row I was in, I think row 15, there was slightly obstructed view of the scoreboard, and I was like, I don't want that. So I scooted up probably to about row 8.
You know, I've only done this once, but this is my new thing. I do that at golf courses. I'll book a tee time, and then I'll call later and book the tee time after me. Because I don't like when people are behind me. They don't charge you. I mean, they don't.
Yeah.
Everyone's on the honor system.
You're going to ruin that for the rest of us.
I mean, that's what I do.
I'm like, hello, I'd like a tee time at precisely 7:11 a.m.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, there's someone before you.
Oh, that's fine. I'll show up promptly on time. Don't you worry.
Sometimes I'll even go, would you like my credit card to put it down? And they'll say, oh, no, we're a golf course. We trust everyone for some reason.
Okay.
It's a gentleman's game.
Yeah.
And then you show up and they say, well, not anymore.
Well, I'm not a gentleman. You know who is a gentleman? Mike the Painter, 799-1250. Regarding the game, Tyrone Taylor hits that grand slam. And then Goldschmidt homers, and then he homers again, and the Cardinals built their lead back, and they won the game, and it sucked. Brewers lose 8-5. Mike, what's happening?
Yeah, good morning there, Bart.
Good morning, Mike.
I was listening to Rami after I got off of work, and he reminded me that the game was on YouTube, so I threw it on my phone, and that's when I was watching it, when Goldschmidt hit that home run, and oh, man, that was just so disheartening. Why would he throw to first when there's two outs? I just did not get that. You don't need to worry about the base runner. You got the guy at the plate. And I think he was even up in the count on Goldschmidt at the time. And I'm kind of worried, Bart.
About what?
The division.
Well,
the Cardinals got the easiest road. They had 7 games against the AAA Cubs.
This is messing with our minds because it's the Cardinals.
Right.
The Brewers are 7.5 games up.
Right.
With a week and a half to go. Do you realize the epic collapse that would have to occur?
And it could only happen to us.
For the Cardinals to even have a chance.
But we're Milwaukee. It happens to us.
No, I would say yes, but not anymore.
Against the Cardinals, right. not against the Mets.
Well, we do got good pitchers coming up. We can do it at our aces.
Mike, I don't know if you remember, 9 weeks ago Tuesday, the Bucks won the NBA championship and thus broke all and any curse that had been hexed on this state with every team included in that curse. There's no separate Brewers curse.
I get it, Bart, but it's...
So this weird Milwaukee...
Like it's happening again.
We don't have to worry about.
It looks like it's happening again to us.
Yeah,
and
well,
then to see
it's not.
The easy road the Cardinals have, and they're on a 12-game winning streak as it is.
Yeah, so then they're bound to lose one.
Two or three, hopefully.
Brewers could wrap up the division today. They play the Cubs twice.
Yes.
That and we play the Mets. Nice.
Yes, that is nice. But I'm not.
Let me be clear. I'm not scolding Mike, the painter here. I totally get the worry, and it creeps into my mind too. But then when you just do yourself a favor, go to MLB.com, look at the standings, you will see a giant 7.5 game lead. Like, you need to see it with your eyes and see that number and then realize, oh, there's 10 games left for both teams. There's no way. Or 11 for the Cardinals, whatever.
Yes, I seen the 7.5, but then I see, you know, 7 games against the Cubs for the Cardinals, and it doesn't give me any reassurance.
The magic number's 3. All the Brewers need to do is win 3. They don't need the Cardinals to do anything.
For forever now it's been 3.
It's fine. We're going to come back in here on Monday. We're going to be celebrating them winning the division.
Yeah.
See, now I feel a little more relaxed that Toby says.
I mean, just think about this, Mike. We're freaking out over a 5-game losing streak. It's not like an 8-game losing streak. It's not 10.
Yeah, it's not like it's 6. Cardinals it's 5.
The Cardinals have won 12. Good for them. They're going to get the wild card and lose anyways.
That is a good thing. That would be nice to see. I just want our bats to come alive.
Now, that might be a problem. That might be a problem.
Don't say that. No, we need our bats to come alive. Hopefully they will today.
If you want to go to like, oh man, are our bats going to come alive against the Braves? I'm worried about the playoffs. That's like a legitimate. We can break it down. But no, the division's over. We're fine.
That's why I want to see us going in hot right now.
Oh, that's what we've been talking about all week.
I know, but then we're dumping it against, you know, the Redbirds.
Mike, it'll be all right. We'll talk on Monday. Brewers will be division champs. Packers will be 1-2.
Yes, the Packers will be 2-1.
Okay.
They'll win 24-17.
Okay. The Niners are going to score more than 17 points on our defense.
No, they're not. Our defense is going to come to life. The Stokes is going to take over. That would be the right corner spot, wouldn't it? Or left? Where does Jair play? Is he a right corner or left corner?
I think he plays all over.
Well, when he starts.
I don't know. I don't know what side of the field he starts on. I've never once.
Do they call it the left side when you're when you're looking at the offense? Because it would be the left side.
Mike, we'll talk on Monday.
All right.
All right, buddy.
I hope the Brewers win the division by this time.
We'll talk on Monday.
Have a good day.
All right,
see
you, buddy.
Have a good day, Toby.
See you, Mike.
Brewers fan tweets in here. Tim Allen's theory is that the Brewers should have celebrated when they clinched the playoffs. Brewers fan says, there's no doubt that this is a bad stretch by the crew. It's hard to disagree with Tim that when they didn't celebrate the fact that they made the playoffs, it impacted them.
See, I was listening to the post-game show to hear what Tim had to say, and I heard that theory. I don't know that I agree with him here. I mean, unless these players wanted to party and council said no and it kind of hurt their mood, I could see, I guess, how it would affect them. But otherwise, I mean, I'm not one that believes in superstitions and all this stuff, so, you know, I think Tim does and a lot of baseball people do. But I don't think it has anything to do with it. I think they just played terrible against the Cardinals. They had a chance to win it yesterday. Devin Williams is down with an injury right now. Council said that hopefully he can avoid the IL, but they didn't have Devin Williams yesterday. I think Hauser maybe could have gone another inning yesterday. I think at times Craig Council overmanages, but again, those kind of things happen. Usually it works out. This year it has worked out more times than it hasn't. But I don't think them not celebrate. They want to celebrate a division title. They had such a big lead. I get it. Why are you going to celebrate getting a playoff berth when everybody had already assumed you were in the playoff 2 months ago?
Yeah, if you want to say it's the baseball gods, that's more believable than the Brewers are like upset they didn't celebrate or something to me. And I'm not buying into the baseball gods thing.
The thing I will go with that Tim said last night on the post-game show that I thought was good was maybe Craig Counsell is overmanaging right now because he's not used to being in the driver's seat at late in September. Usually he's in chase mode. You throw your best players out there. They're playing as much as they can. You're trying to get your arms ready, and you're throwing them out there as much as you can. And you're just trying to win every baseball game. Whereas right now, the Brewers can go on a 5-game skid. They can go on a 10-game skid, and they'll still probably win the division. And so Craig Counsell right now maybe is overmanaging these arms and these players, and he's trying to keep them all healthy as opposed to just leaving them out there winning the division and giving them a day off every now and then. Maybe he's just overmanaging a little bit right now, and he's not used to being in the driver's seat.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're talking about with how baseball's set up. It's almost better for you to get hot at this time and to be playing playoff baseball in September. Although the Cardinals' reward will be a 1-game road wild card. And the Brewers, no matter what happens here in September, they're going to have a series that starts at home. So I don't know. This is it's a different situation. We knew that going in, and maybe you're right. Maybe this is the result of it. Let's see what the Brewers have to say. Lorenzo Cain, every question that we have about what mattered, what affected you, Lorenzo Cain was asked last night by Tom Hodricourt, Adam McKelvey, a couple of other guys. Here's a minute with Lorenzo Cain.
Lo, can you just give us your perspective on this stretch? You've built a nice lead in the division, but does this week at all crack anybody's confidence?
Yes and no. It's a tough stretch to go through. Guys been playing their butts off, and things haven't been going our way. For a fact, we came out, prepared, ready to go, fired up, from the first inning all the way to the end. And, unfortunately, things just didn't go our way today. So, we got to find a way to bounce back tomorrow and hopefully go out here tomorrow and get a win, because we definitely desperately need one for sure.
Oh, as a veteran of, high pressure games, you played in a lot of, obviously the World Series and everything. Do you feel a need at this point to step up and talk to the team, or has that happened? Or do you feel like, this clubhouse is strong enough that it, can kind of endure and get back on the right track?
Yeah, we've all talked. We've had team meetings. We've done it all. we had a few team meetings. So, it's all about just picking each other up, just kind of holding each other accountable. Go out there and play hard, that's at the end of the day, go out there and compete our butts off day in and day out. That's all you can ask for. Unfortunately, it just hasn't been going our way. We got to find a way to continue to score runs consistently. Because our pitching's been doing such a great job the entire time. And we just got to keep going. We got to find a way to bounce back, get out of this little funk that we're in.
Lo, do you think you guys built such a big lead that you lost a sense of urgency, that you knew you could lose some games and it was no big deal, and now you can't find it back again?
That's a good question. I'm honestly not sure. I can't really answer that question. I can only speak for myself on that question. But as a whole, I don't think anyone's gotten complacent or anything. We know what we need to do. We understand that we're in the playoffs regardless, but our main goal is to win the division. And we still got a few more games to do that. We still got to find a way to go out there and get that done, because we're definitely running out of time. Games are, it's the end of the season is rapidly approaching, and we got to find a way to go out here and get a win tomorrow.
That's a little bit from Lorenzo Cain. Tomorrow now is today, and they've got the Mets for a 3-game series. There was audio during that. You may have thought, what is that? Oh, that must just be Lorenzo Cain's kid on his lap. No, I was tickling Toby during the...
That was me.
Yeah. I was tickling Toby. Craig Counsell, we're talking about him too. He was asked a few of the same things. Here's a minute with the skipper.
Every day we sort of say, it's a big enough cushion, and we can absorb another loss. We keep hearing that. But when does that have to stop?
Well, we have to win games. That's on us. It's on us to win games. It's on us to take it. We're trying to win games. We're not doing it right now. We all got to do a little bit better to win a baseball game. That's what this week told us. We've got to take it. Nobody's going to give it to us. I think we understand that. This team is, it's a resilient bunch. We've had a bad week, and we're going to have to take it.
Craig Adrian was just saying nobody's pushing the panic button in the clubhouse. Are you confident that the players still understand kind of the position you have in the standings?
I know we are. I mean, we're 91 games in the win column. We've been resilient all year. We've like a good team, had to go through a bunch of different things. Been resilient enough to kind of conquer them all. And this is the next challenge. And it's, you know, nobody likes going through it. Like we said, yesterday, nobody likes going through this. But if we're really good, we're going to learn from it too. This is going to be a lesson for us as we move forward. And, you know, we're going to have a game in the playoffs where we're going to get knocked in the teeth, and it's going to lose a game that we don't like the way we lost. And then we're going to have another one the next day. So, we'll learn from this. And like I said, the resiliency of this group was, in the end, I think, is going to shine through.
A little bit from Craig Council. You guys are tweeting in 12:50 AM. The Fan, Jay Fishy says, I'm beyond pissed about the Brewers getting swept by the Cardinals. They better take 2 or 3 from the Mets. And what happened to Williams? Was it a calf, a quad? What did he say? I can dig it up and play it. But
I believe it was a calf. He injured it the other day in the outfield. You know, the pitchers run around and shag fly
balls. Oh, awesome.
I know. Awesome. Hopefully it's nothing too bad, but it doesn't sound super encouraging because Craig said he's going to be down for a couple days hoping to avoid an IL stint. So it's not just a tweak where they could say it's only going to be a day or two. It's probably something that could linger at least a week.
Excellent. So just running around and he got hurt. Good.
I mean, here's the thing, Brewers fans. If you want to hit a cold stretch, you want to have guys tweak things, it's this week and this past week.
Not this coming week. Now you got to win today.
Exactly. This is the time that you want to struggle, maybe have like a little injury, you know, if they're going to have it. You don't want it coming up in the next week because then you got to start really ramping up for the playoffs because, you know, you want to get hot going into October. You don't want to roll in here, you know, having barely won 2 games, 3 games to win the division, and then that's pretty much all you've won for the last 2 weeks. You want to get going here at some point. So, you know, as much as you say there's no panic, I still think the division's wrapped up, but you still got to get going at some point because you need some momentum going into the playoffs.
That's what Pete's worried about. He tweets in, says, it's not just a 5-game losing streak. They've looked bad all September. So I am worried about the division because the Cardinals look so much better than the Crew. The Crew looks like they've lost their mojo. Maybe we need to get Mike McCarthy up here for Austin Powers' mojo moment. Jerry says, once you have a spot clinch as early as they did, it's inevitable there will be a letdown before the playoffs. They'll regroup, meet the Cards after they beat the Dodgers and dispose of St. Louis, making all of this so much sweeter. So some optimism from Jerry. So we are broadcasting live in the great city of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And about an hour north, there's a little town just outside of Kohler called Haven. And it's where Whistling Straits is. And that's where the Ryder Cup is. And basically, in the middle of converted lakeshore land turned to golf course, right now, the biggest party on earth is happening at the Ryder Cup. That's the PGA Tour tweeting that about 5 minutes ago. The first grandstand is packed, people all in their red, white, and blue, and everybody's singing Sweet Caroline. I keep seeing tweets here from people I follow in the media, like Sam Farmer, who I thought covered the Rams, and Hannah Storm, and they're like, everybody's at the Ryder Cup. Why the hell didn't I go?
Dude, it's a huge event. I love this thing. I'm so excited to see what happens. And see, the thing that
why didn't I go? What am I doing?
I don't know. The only thing that sucks about this is that Sunday, it's going to come down to Sunday, and I don't care. football's on.
Yeah. I will get super into it today.
What did you think about the Europeans trying to gain the respect with the green and gold and the
I think it's a great move. Head?
I thought so too. I thought it was hilarious. Padraig Harrington said that he got the Packers on board with it and they're the ones that supplied the cheese heads for them, so they didn't have to go out and buy them and everything, but it was great. It was such a fun atmosphere. And that was a practice round on a Wednesday. It looked like it was even more packed yesterday, and then I can't even imagine what it's going to be like today where you actually have competition days. This is such a unique environment for golf, and it's such a good thing for golf. You get a team event. You know, golf is such an individualized sport. You get a team event this morning with alternate shot, something these guys hardly ever have to do other than maybe the President's Cup and the Ryder Cup. So these guys don't usually have to do this. So it's a unique atmosphere for that. And then also it allows the fans to get a little bit rowdy. Usually at a golf event, you got to kind of be a little more reserved. Not at this event. You cheer on USA. Hopefully it's significantly in favor of USA, considering there's probably not a lot of Europeans that were able to travel over for this. So go USA. Hopefully they can win it this time.
Sam Farmer tweeting, imagine if the Rose Bowl was the USA versus Europe and it kicked off at daybreak. Welcome to the first tee of the Ryder Cup. I got a little Miley going.
My jam.
It is packed there. Wow.
Man, this makes me, it gets me fired up.
Like, my wife's going at 9:30 for her thing. Is that going to be too late?
Well, they have an afternoon wave, too, so all the people that are already there will be hammered, be even rowdier.
Oh, God.
Because they do foursomes in the morning, so alternate shot, then four ball in the afternoon where it's kind of like a best ball between the two guys, which I'm excited because you know what that means. Bryson DeChambeau for sure is going to be playing in that, and since he has another guy with him, he's for sure just going to let a rip on half these holes.
Excellent stuff. This is going to be fun. Yeah, today we'll be super into it. Tomorrow, then, I'll watch college all day, and Sunday I'll watch NFL.
Yeah, opening tee shot here in just about over a half an hour at the Ryder Cup, so super excited about
this. I think the most excited I've seen you since I've known you.
I'm pretty amped.
I did want to give you a compliment about how you politely disagree with people. When you were saying you disagree with Tim. About the baseball gods?
Sure.
You were like, I think I might have to disagree. You're not like, Tim's an idiot, like I would say. You're like, oh, I think I might take an approach from a different angle on that one.
People I respect. I'm not just going to go throw them under the bus like that.
It's a good balance as I trash everybody that is not me. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Toby Altizer. We've got much more for you today. Ryan Horvath's going to pop in around the 8 o'clock hour. We'll do our week three picks as three best friends. We've got, oh my God, I should have led with this. We've got a debut. You guys are worried about the Brewers? I get it. That's why Eddie J. Lemberger is here. I closely monitor this man's YouTube account. He has got a new Brewers song. He had Bucks Lust. It won us a title. And now he's got a new Brewers song, which will debut just after 7. We'll talk some Packers with Ryan Wood coming up. Much more from you guys as well here on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's time to find out the latest from Green Bay with Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Brought to you by the Thomas Marola Law Offices.
Divorce, child custody, and any other family law needs. Go with experience. Go with Thomas Marola. Online at marolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800.
You can also find Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com, on Twitter, BY Ryan Wood, and plastered all over the station throughout the week. Just little, 10, 15-minute interviews. But if you accumulate how much he's on in 1 week, let's say it's an hour and a half, it's still about twice as long as any Brett Anderson start. I don't like Brett Anderson. Ryan Wood joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
Doing good, Bart. How are we doing?
Doing good. We're not going to talk about Roger's feelings today, so you can put those notes aside. I want to talk to you about this Packers-Niners matchup, Sunday Night Football. This is one of those games that, like in the NFL sometimes, an outcome looks so obvious one way. And I feel like the Steelers-Raiders might have been in this territory last week where everyone's like, oh, it's going to be the Steelers, of course, short week, Raiders, emotional game, on the road, travel. But the Raiders went in and beat the Steelers. So I'm trying to wonder, could this be one of those games where the result looks so obvious, Packers have to go back to San Francisco again, their defense is struggling, but maybe they'll get it done. I do think that there's a lot at play here for the Packers to be able to get a win. And I'll start on the defensive side of the ball. I don't know, man. I mean, I see like the Niners having like eight different guys that run with the football. They're going to be doing Debo stuff. Trey Lance could get in there. And even if he's just in there, they'll overcommit to him. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be on the move. Whoever they have at running back. I just think when you look at this matchup, the Niners offense against the Packers defense, I don't see how the Packers win on that side of the ball.
It's tough when you consider what the Packers defense has done through the first 2 weeks of the season, right? I mean, you don't want to be a prisoner of the moment, but the moment has been pretty bleak. So I guess if you parse it down a little bit more than just the broad view, the Packers defense did stiffen up after the first four possessions against the Lions on Monday night. I mean, they gave up two touchdowns and a field goal in the first four possessions. Nothing after that, nothing in the second half. So there was improvement. Matt LaFleur called it an upward trajectory, but it's not, that's not Kyle Shanahan's offense that they were going against. So it's going to be a very tall task.
If you're the Packers defense, is there like a priority you want to stop? Do you say, well, we got to stop the run? Do we got to stop Kittle? I just see like whoever they stop is going to open up somebody else having a big day against them. The Niners offensively, I don't see how they score any less than, 28 points.
Yeah, that's a great question. It starts with making the 49ers one-dimensional. Now, just the way it is with any offense. Now, which way they go on that is tough because on one hand, George Kittle could eat them alive. I mean, this is look what T.J. Hockenson did last week to him. This is a defense that historically has struggled against really good tight ends, struggled against George Kittle, and that's in the passing game, that's a place to start. But anyone that has any type of memory at all remembers what happened in that 2019 NFC Championship game against the run, against this Shanahan scheme that is very deceptive on the ground. A lot of very similar to Matt LaFleur's scheme, a lot of misdirection, a lot of camouflaging of what they're going to do. And they obviously, the most obvious statement you'll hear all day, they can't give up almost 300 yards on the ground again. So it starts with making them one-dimensional. I'm not sure which way they go because it's a tall task on either side.
This is a quote from Matt LaFleur after the Lions game. I'm just going to play it. People are like all worked up about it. Here's Matt LaFleur.
One of the things that certainly I talked to Joe about was, hey, either play coverage or we have to pressure. Because when we were doing our four-man rushes and playing man coverage behind it, we weren't hit you know, we weren't getting to the quarterback. So if you don't get him off the spot, Jared, I've been around Jared, and he will be efficient, and he will make the throws. So we needed to affect the quarterback much more.
So the outrage from people is Matt LaFleur had to tell Joe Barry to rush more than four guys. Is that a big deal in Green Bay or not?
You know, everyone gets fixated on the start of that quote. I think the most important part of that quote and the most telling part of that quote is the end. We've got to affect the quarterback much more. Because in two games, the Packers haven't done it. They haven't affected the quarterback in two games. What was surprising to me is when you think about what coaching is, the definition of coaching is putting your players in position to succeed. It's knowing your personnel. And it's also knowing who's not your personnel. So the Packers defensive front entering the game against the Lions, Joe Barry knows that Darius Smith is on IR. He knows he doesn't have his game wrecker on the defensive front as far as pass rushing goes. And so you go in knowing you're shorthanded there. You're missing your best guy. You've got to be creative in the blitz package to get home on Jared Goff. You've got Kenny Clark, who is at times a dominant defender, but he's more of a run defender than a high-volume sacks guy. You've got Preston Smith, who literally is coming off a year in which he took a pay cut for lack of pass rush. And then you've got Rashawn Gary, who has got his moments, but it hasn't been consistent yet. And those are your three guys. Without Darius Smith, those are your three guys as far as the pass rush goes. It's a huge drop-off after that. You've got, with that personnel, you've got to get creative to get home on anyone. And Matt LaFleur said the Lions, you know, they've got a really good offensive line, and they do got a very solid offensive line. So the lack of knowing your personnel, maybe that's something that improves. You know, it's a new coordinator, but I was stunned that they didn't come into the game because of not having Zadarius Smith with more pressure packages just because of the compensate for that. Regardless, they've got one team sack in two games. They have got to get more pressure on the quarterback, whoever it is.
Talking with Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette. So the Packers are going to face a situation they haven't faced in a while. They're going to go on the road on a true road game. I mean, they went on the road last year, but you know, people were still starting to trickle into the stands. Jacksonville obviously hosted the Saints game. You're going to have 80,000 Niners fans up for a big game. So either positively or negatively, I would ask you, who do you think it affects the most on the Packers? Does maybe Rodgers get charged up to play in this environment? I'm thinking about the offensive line, and they're young, and they've been playing all right, but do they have to go silent count, and they get kind of thrown off in that atmosphere? So who do you think the crowd, either in a good or bad way, is going to affect the most this weekend?
Well, I don't think the main question is the pre-snap operation. It's the communication, and especially with a young offensive line that has not been in this environment yet, it's going to really test them. And it's the first true road game that this team has played since before the pandemic. It's been a long time. They didn't have it at all last year, obviously. And it was supposed to be week one against New Orleans, but that game, because of Hurricane Ida, gets moved to Jacksonville, where there were more Packers fans than Saints fans, and was really a true neutral site game. So it's going, you know, Aaron Rodgers made it very clear this is going to be a challenge for them. He said that they've been working the silent snap count since midway through camp, and they've been preparing for this. And so, I mean, he's confident in the operation going in, but that it is going to it's the first game back for 49ers fans too. First full game in the stadium. You know, Packers fans were tremendous Monday night against the Lions. It was a really awesome atmosphere. It's one of those things where, just from my perspective, I don't know, before going through the 2020 season in empty stadiums, I'm not sure I fully grasp just how much a full crowd adds to a game. I mean, you know it in your head, but you don't, without experiencing the other side and knowing that, you know, silence at a football game is really, really weird, I don't know if you can fully grasp it. So once that returns, it makes a huge difference. It was a huge difference Monday night. It's going to be a huge difference for the 49ers on Sunday night, and it's something that this Packers team is going to have to contend with.
Rashawn Gary was at practice. No Elton Jenkins, as I'm looking at the injury report. Is anything, do we need to worry about him? He was a DNP on Wednesday.
It sounds like it's definitely something to, at the very least, keep an eye on through the week. Matt LaFleur said Elton Jenkins is going to get the week to show that he can play with that ankle injury that kept him out of practice. You know, what's interesting is Elton Jenkins played all 65 snaps against the Lions. So I'm not really sure when the injury happened, but he clearly finished the game with it. That might give some hope that it's not too serious, that it would keep him off the field. But that's a huge deal for the Packers offensive line. I mean, Elton Jenkins has been tremendous at left tackle, replacing David Bakhtiari. It's unnatural how good he has been as a natural guard, sliding out to the blind side. If they don't have Elton Jenkins, most likely, I imagine they'll slide Billy Turner from right tackle to left tackle, which, other than when Billy Turner played against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he played a fairly solid left tackle last year. He did it in the Week 17 finale against Chicago and held up pretty good. He did in the divisional game. And to Billy Turner's credit, every offensive lineman struggled against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last season, so he certainly had company. I imagine if without Elton Jenkins, Billy Turner slides over to left tackle, and you've got Dennis Kelly, who the Packers added in camp for really this reason exactly, that give depth at right tackle. He's most likely going to be your starting right tackle.
Need a prediction from you, not on the game, but on this.
Yeah, hey, are you doing a mustache right now? I mean, if you go with that hair, mustache, sombrero.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, let's go. We're winning the Super Bowl. I mean, immediately, dude.
I don't think so. You know, I have a month-ish until Halloween, and this has been a year in the making for my costume. I'm not going to give it away.
Wow.
But it's somebody who is a hero of mine who has, you know, long-ish hair.
What's your Halloween prediction on the costume?
It's a great question. I don't know. Jon Snow, he's a big Game of Thrones guy, right? I have no idea.
I think the Princess Bride, Inga Montoya, right? He's got long hair.
I have a confession to make.
Yeah?
So I never trick-or-treated as a kid. Not one.
Okay, I thought you were gonna say like I haven't seen Princess Bride. I was gonna be like, who cares? But you have never trick or treated as a kid.
No, that would be correct. I've never seen Princess Bride. Secondly, never trick or treated as a kid. So I'm like the worst person to ask about Halloween costumes.
What happened? Like, is this like a question where I'm like, why didn't you ever trick or treat as a kid? And I get like a whole backstory about how your childhood was terrible, or what? Well, how do you not trick or treat as a kid?
Well, do you have a couch somewhere we can know?
Wow.
No, just one of those odd, weird quirks about me. I never trick or treated as a kid.
Do your kids trick or treat?
They do. You better believe they do. And you know why they do? It's for them.
Okay.
But it's at least half for me, because you know I get to steal their candy and sneak behind their back, and they have no idea. So. Unless they listen to this now, in which case I'm sorry.
It is an odd concept. It is an odd thing we do, trick or treating.
Yeah, because you know you can just go to Walgreens and buy the candy, but
yeah, and then you got to be like, check your candy for razors, because someone's so devious that the way they're gonna get at you is they're gonna buy Snickers bars, put razors in, and then put the wrapper back on. If that's what they wanted to do, they would just kidnap you in like July.
We will say that I heard that refrain as a child.
Yeah.
So,
oh my God, one time we went to a house and they gave us like pencils and mini Bibles, and I was like, not today, lady. I'm looking for a baby Ruth.
This is the candy day.
Yeah, it's candy day.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan. Well, at least you get that moment with your boys. And If I'm in the neighborhood, I'll pop in at your house.
All right. Yeah. We do it big. It's kind of compensating for, you know, the lack of trick or treating when I was younger. But we do it big now. As far as Aaron Rodgers' costume, I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. Just wanted to ask. And it compensating. There's nothing wrong with compensating. That's the reason I drive a big truck.
There you go.
No, I'm just kidding. I drive a Hyundai. All right, Ryan. Thanks, buddy.
Take care.
Ryan Wood joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're applying for a home renovation loan and you're a bit anxious, breathe. Let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of banquility. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com. Some would say that Aaron Rodgers has been in a costume this whole time because we don't really know the real him. Wouldn't you also wonder maybe that's true? Aaron Rodgers? The game last night was not that entertaining. I didn't think we thought it would be. Thank you. But the Panthers beat the Texans. Until the end of the second quarter, they finally got past midfield.
Well, and up until that point, the referees had accounted for more yards than the Texans.
Yeah. Davis Mills was your starter for Houston, and I guess he played fine. 19 for 28, 161 and a score. He got sacked a bunch. Panthers defense is really good. Tony in Texas called a month ago and said they're going to win the NFC South, and we laughed at him, as we should. It will be Tampa. But Carolina could at least lead the South after this weekend. Tampa's got the Rams. Carolina, I didn't think of them as a playoff team, and I know that they've only beaten the Jets and then the Texans, and there's one other team they played. It's a team that's so bad, anyone that would have lost to them is actually a terror. Oh, the Saints. They also beat the Saints. But they win last night 24-9. Sam Darnold, 304 yards, but he rushed for two scores. The big news, obviously, is that McCaffrey left with his hamstring too?
Yeah, hamstring injury. J.C. Horn, their first-round pick, top 10 pick, number 8 overall, also broke multiple bones in his foot, so that's not good for the Panthers. So maybe they start out good, but if they're going to miss McCaffrey for some time, and J.C. Horn was playing really well for the first couple of weeks, they lose him too, it could be big losses.
Well, McCaffrey only played 3 games last year. Do I have it right where he played some games, was out, and then came back, and then was out again?
Yep.
Yeah, that was a frustrating year for fantasy owners, but also Panther fans, and also Christian McCaffrey. These are real
people. Well, and here's the thing. A lot of people are saying, you know, maybe Teddy Bridgewater got the raw end of the stick here with not having Christian McCaffrey, and that's why he kind of struggled. Now he gets a job in Denver, and he's looking all right. Well, look what the difference between Sam Darnold with McCaffrey and without McCaffrey last night. So let's not crown Sam Darnold as great again. He threw to DJ Moore, I think, 100 times. And then when Christian McCaffrey went out, it took him forever to figure out how to, you know, even move the ball. And if Christian McCaffrey is going to miss some time, that's when we can see if Sam Darnold's actually better or not.
Yeah, they made up for it, though, with some Sam Darnold runs. And Tommy Tremble, a tight end, ran on a jet sweep.
Yeah, Horvat's boy, right?
Yeah. So the Panthers found creative ways to score. But you're right. I mean, just think of DJ Moore last night. If you had DJ Moore in any lineups, fantasy or otherwise, you were feeling it. He had like 100 yards on the first 3 drives. And then he only finished with 126. Still a great night, 8 catches. But he looked like he was on pace for 350. And then McCaffrey goes out. And, yeah, the offense changed a little bit. We do our Thursday night picks every week. I took McCaffrey as my first pick, obviously. Did I win or did I lose again?
You did win.
What were the rosters?
You had Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, and Brandon Cooks.
Oh, I had Moore.
You had 3 good games. I had Sam Darnold and 2 guys that combined for 1.8 points, Robbie Anderson and Philip Lindsay.
Yeah, Philip Lindsay's not their guy there.
Well, what in the world is up with their backfield? Do they even know what's going on? Do they just kind of look over there? I mean, this backfield would have been awesome like 4 years ago.
I know.
David Johnson, Philip Lindsay. Well, I don't even know if Lindsay was in the
league. I forgot David Johnson was on the team.
I know. They don't even know
what
they're
doing. And he was the one traded for Hop.
Mark Ingram doesn't look good in number 2.
No, no. You're right. Maybe in college, not now.
So I've noticed one theme for us so far with these Thursday night games. So our first week, our final score tally was 67.5 for me to 52.3 for you. Next week was 56.2 for me, 45.6 for you. How many points do you think you scored this week? Because you won by like 10.
38?
Yeah, 37. I scored 27 points.
So they're going down.
Yeah, very badly down.
Well, okay, so Thursday Night Football, there are some really, really good games coming up once they move back to Fox.
I mean, to be fair, we started with Dallas and Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
And then we went to the Giants and Washington, still two teams that could make the playoffs. Then we went to Carolina and Houston. One team of those can make the playoffs. Houston, what are they going to win, three games?
Yeah, so there are better games, though. You've got Buccaneers-Eagles in a couple of weeks, Browns-Broncos, Packers-Cardinals. Let's see, you got Patriots-Falcons. These are better. But next week is the last NFL Network game, and it's Jacksonville-Cincinnati. So not only was last night tough, it's like, yeah, I want to watch this football game. Panthers-Texans. This is the time of my week I'm carving out for. Next week, it's Jacksonville-Cincinnati. So clear your decks now. Clear your schedules and go ahead and watch that.
Hey, back-to-back, the last two number one overall picks going at it.
Yeah, that's how they advertise it. That's the only way to advertise it between those two clubs. That'll be next Thursday. A lot of games yet this week. Week three just getting underway. We'll have our picks with Ryan Horvath in the 8 o'clock hour. If you're worried about the Brewers, and it's fine if you are, it really is, because it's the Cardinals, and I totally get it. People were worried about the Bucks, you remember. But there were a couple of different things that happened during that Bucks season where you started to realize this is going to be a special year. And one of those things was Eddie J. Lemberger coming out with Bucks Lust. We have a Brewers version. He has dropped a Brewers song. It's not Brewers Lust. It's different. I'll let you be the judge. But we have a song. Eddie J. Lemberger. The release. What's the song called? I totally forgot already. Brewers Diamond Cutters?
Don't remember.
We Rule This Diamond. We Rule This Diamond debut. Next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.